I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.
Bee lovers rejoice, for September is National Honey Month. So for this Food Friday, we celebrate the sweet stuff from our little stripey friends with Ian Knauer.
Ian's a food writer who spent 10 years at Gourmet Magazine. These days, he's running the family farm in Pennsylvania, where he writes, cooks, gardens, and keeps bees. He's also hosting a new PBS series. It's due out in November called The Farm, and that's named after his cookbook by the same name. Ian, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me back.
So September is National Honey Month, and I guess the question is, what's not to like about that?
Nothing. It's the sweetest month all year.
So you keep bees at your farm in Pennsylvania, something that's catching on around the country. Tell us a little bit about what it's like being up close and personal with the source of your honey.
Keeping bees is probably one of the most intimate ways to get in touch with nature and with yourself. If you know a beekeeper, chances are they're pretty calm, because it's true. I mean, this old maxim about how bees can smell fear is absolutely true. Well, I don't know if they actually smell it. I'm not sure that they have noses, but they can sense it. And I notice a huge difference in my hive when I go in. If I'm in a bad mood or if I'm stressed, the bees also become stressed. So what you learn as a beekeeper is to really relax yourself, and the bees will follow right with you because you don't like to get stung. And so when you learn how to make yourself calm, the bees will follow suit. And if you do that enough, then you can transfer that out of the hive and into your regular life. So, you know, beekeepers tend to be pretty chill.
So it'll be The Zen of Beekeeping, your next book.
Exactly. Right.
I always want to keep bees. I'm tempted by it. But my kids keep voting me down. Apparently they think they're going to get stung or something. And I keep telling them, you know, bees are our friends, guys. You don't need to worry about it. But it sounds like you're saying it's sort of more about you than it is about the bees.
Oh, very, very much so. I mean, they are sensitive to some other external factors, like the weather, for instance. They don't really like it when it's rainy and cloudy. They get a little cranky. So you just avoid them at that time. And, you know, you steer clear and you let them have their space. And then when it's sunny out and nice, like it is today over in this part of the country, today is a perfect day to go into the hive, and they're actually really happy to see you. So as long as you don't, you know, egg them on, and you know how to be sensitive to the bees, then the bees will just return the favor.
Let's get to the eating part now. I keep honey around. I eat it in fits and starts. Usually when I go to get it, I have to kind of chisel it out with a butter knife. How much of a difference does it make to have fresh honey?
Well, honey never goes bad. So let's start from that end. Even in some excavations of tombs in Egypt, they found jars of honey that was still good.
Wow.
There's just so much sugar in it that bacteria can't set in, so it doesn't rot. Now, it does crystallize, so that's what you experience when you have to chip it out. That doesn't mean it's bad at all. In fact, a lot of people prefer it that way. It's much more spreadable. Or if you like your honey liquefied, you can always just warm up your jar in some warm water or even stick in the microwave for a couple seconds, and it'll become a liquid again. Now, that said, fresh honey is its own wonderful, just incredible thing. And if you get it right from the hive, or you get it from a local farmer or a local beekeeper who has just taken the honey, it tastes totally different than it does 6 months later or a year later, and you can really taste those flowers. It's very, very floral. So if you get a chance to either keep your own bees or you know a beekeeper, see if you can get your hands on some really fresh honey.
So judging by the varieties of honey available at my farmer's market, it seems like you can literally kind of taste what it is that the bees are eating. Do you find that?
I think in some cases, yeah. I think with orange flower honey, for instance, it really tastes like oranges to me. It's very citrus. Now, when it comes to something like lavender honey, I don't actually taste lavender. I think it's delicious, but I really have to squint and use my imagination to get lavender flavor from the honey. But, you know, I think it really depends. Buckwheat honey, of course, is its own really dark, almost molasses-like flavor. And then chestnut honey, if you ever get your hands on some chestnut honey, especially from Italy, it's almost funky. I mean, there's something really ripe about it. So it varies from location to location, and of course from flower to flower, and you can get such a wide range of flavors of honey that you can play with them. You know, it's fun to play with those different flavors.
We got a sneak peek at your PBS series called The Farm, and we got a look at you eating just some biscuits with honey drizzled on them. Is that the best way to enjoy some honey?
If you have honey fresh from the hive, you know, and it was just harvested, then that's the way that you want to eat it. Just unadulterated on a very plain canvas, like a biscuit is a great example of that, or some toast. You really get the nuanced flavors of that fresh honey. But I also like to cook with honey, not only in sweet dishes, but savory dishes too. It can be a really fun ingredient, a nice way to add balance and a little bit of sweetness to a savory dish.
Well, now, speaking of recipes and savory dishes, you shared one with us, and it's one that, of course, employs honey. Honey chipotle ribs. Can you tell us a bit about that recipe?
This is basically everybody's favorite this time of year. You get a really nice balance because you have those chipotle peppers, which are smoky and a little spicy, as the base of this rub that goes on the ribs. And then to balance that out, I add a little fresh lime juice and, of course, some honey. And so you really get a complete flavor profile here. You get the acidity, the sweetness, the smokiness, and the heat. And, of course, you know, ribs all by themselves are pretty delicious things. So this is just this just bumps up the flavor by like 1,000%. It's a really simple marinade to put together. You basically just chop your chipotles and whisk it all together, and then you drizzle it on the ribs and then cook them in the oven. I like to cook them in like a foil packet. That basically means that they steam in the marinade and in their own juices. So like an hour and three quarters or so until they're just falling off the bone. And then I undo the foil package, and I either grill them to finish them or I put them under the boiler for like 4 or 5 minutes just to get a little brown on top. It's one of those recipes that takes a couple hours, but it's not active time. You can throw them in the oven and then forget about them and then come back at dinner time. So it's actually really easy.
And can you send some of those ribs over for us right now?
It's kind of cruel to be talking about this as we enter the dinner hour. I see Rob salivating over there.
Literally.
Yeah. Right.
Can you put that on other stuff besides ribs? Shrimp?
Yeah, it'd be great on, yeah, grilled chicken would be amazing with that. You could just stand at the grill and brush it on as you're cooking.
Nice.
You don't even need to soak it in there like a marinade for a long time.
And I should point out, this one is up on the Central Time Facebook page right now. So if you want to cook this over the weekend, get some of those summery flavors and that honey in there, it's right there for you.
And if people at home have some honey handy and they want to work it into a recipe tonight or this weekend, any good places to look to put some honey in a recipe?
Well, I think something really, really simple and also shockingly sophisticated is to use it on a cheese plate. And so what I like to do is I like to take a pear or even an apple that's really ripe and slice it thinly and put some ricotta cheese on top of that, some nice fresh billowy ricotta, and then drizzle that with some honey, and then even sprinkle it with a little smoked paprika. So again, you've got all these complementary flavors that really round out the flavor of the dish when you take a bite of everything. So that's a really simple way to use it. A way that might be a little more complex is to replace maple syrup with honey. Like, let's say you like to make granola at home. You could add honey instead of maple to your granola mixture. And you'll definitely get some of that honey flavor in there, but it won't be overwhelming. So I think those are two really simple ways to incorporate honey.
Well, Ian, thanks again for being here, and say hello to your bees for us.
Oh, I will. I'm sure they'll say hi back.
Excellent. We've been talking to Ian Knauer. He's a food writer, beekeeper, of course, gardener, and host of the forthcoming PBS series called The Farm, based on his cookbook by the same name. Coming up on Monday on Central Time, astronomer Phil Plait will be joining us. He's going to talk about the Northern Lights. He's going to talk about what they are and whether or not this might be a good year to actually see the Northern Lights if you don't live in the far north of Wisconsin.
And he'll tell us why they happen, too. He's always a lot of fun on those astronomy stories. Also, we'll hear about how our emails and online accounts are easily hacked and what we can do to protect ourselves.
Also, we'll talk to a former Apostle Island historian about lighthouses on Lake Superior.
That's all coming up Monday on Central Time.
Coming up after the news, we'll take a look at the history of censorship in America.
Stick around. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.